Well, I'm afraid I will be needing to leave today. About 2 o'clock, I think. So I'm afraid I'll be having to say goodbye. It has been tremendous coming up here. I really don't, I mean, I'd met a number of you before, but I didn't know anybody here really well. And, you know, it's rough on people when they come to a camp and they don't really know anybody well. It's a little easier on the speaker, because the speaker knows he's gonna get to know people. You know, it's kind of rough when you just have someone coming up. But nonetheless, it's always, you always kind of wonder on the way up, you know. Well, you know, I really don't know anybody really well. And, it's been a pleasure. They really had people, everybody here has been tremendously kind, very nice, very outgoing and friendly, and I appreciate it very much. It's been a pleasure getting to know you, and I hope we'll be seeing a lot more of each other here or there, and coming down to Maryland with you guys, or coming up to Minnesota with me. It's been a pleasure. We've been looking at the interactions with the Savior. This one will be in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20, and we're going to concentrate really on one verse, but to give context, we see a story of the mother of two of the disciples of the Lord coming to the Lord Jesus. Matthew 20 and verse 20. And the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom." The Lord goes on to answer her and to indicate that these things that she's asking for are not in his position to give, but rather the Father's position to give. And as he talks to her and the sons about this, in verse 24 it says, "When the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave.'" This is the verse we'd like to key in on. I wanted to give context for it, but verse 28. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." As the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And in the context, we find out that the Lord Jesus is not simply saying things about himself, but he is also saying that these things are particularly to be an example to you, that you should do likewise. "Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This attitude is one that I would like to think about in relationship to our local churches. To put a little bit of a framework around what I'm talking about, I'd like to tell you two stories. They're both true. I heard them both about the same time. Let me fix that. They're both about people that were about the same age. One I heard a little bit later than the other. But the first story goes like this. It was a young man that I'd gotten to know, he told me that in the particular local church he was in, he perceived that he had a spiritual need that was not being met. He was a young guy. He was around 30. Yeah, that's a young guy. That better be. And his particular need that he thought he had was young people. Other young people. Particularly one other young person he was looking for. Now, this wasn't a woman. Okay, that's another problem. He was looking for a young man, just a friend to be able to have fellowship with that he thought was a spiritual need in his life that he didn't have where he was going in his local church. So, his answer in response to the problem that he assessed was that he told me he then went to another church, seeking to find this need met. And it turned out that there were young people, but there were other problems that he had there, and he ended up leaving that place and going to another place, and he kind of went down the line, and eventually said, at the last I talked to him, he found a place that he felt his needs were being met. It turns out that I knew something about the place that he was going, and they had some other scriptural problems there. But nonetheless, he thought that he had found what he was looking for. That's one story. Now put that in contrast with another story, and this fellow's name was Bill. And Bill told me a similar story that he perceived a need in his life. He was also about 30, and the need that he perceived was the same one, a young person, which he didn't seem to find being met in his local church, that he would have fellowship with. And here again, we understand that he wasn't looking for a woman. That, again, is another problem. But he perceived that he had this need. And in seeking to do something about it, his response was that he began to pray about what he perceived as his need and asked that the Lord would meet that need as the Lord saw best. It turned out that the Lord did meet that need, that he brought someone into the same local church. This was out in Southern California. And the reason that I was told the story and found out about the story was that I was the person that was going out to graduate school out there and ended up rooming with Bill, and we ended up becoming best of friends. And I tell you, what was kind of interesting was he did the praying for this to happen. I got the benefit. And if any of you ever would meet this fellow Bill, you'd understand why. And I tell people a lot of times that I wasn't so much in graduate school in California. I was in the school of Bill. Because he was a prince of an individual. And I learned so much of the Christian life just by being around him. Not even by his saying things, just by being around him. But we put the two stories in contrast next to each other. And we wonder about it. Was one right and one wrong in their response? Were they both right? Was neither one right? We want to think about that in relation to what the Lord Jesus said, just as the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve. Now, in thinking about this question, is one right, is one wrong? How do we assess it? Let's think on one side. Let's think on the serving side for a minute. Let's think about scriptural exhortations that we have where we are to serve the other believers, particularly serving the other believers in the body in general and serving the other believers in a local church in particular. What scriptures come to mind when we think about scriptures that exhort us to serve the other believers in the assembly? Well, we can look at some. Romans 12. We're going to get back to our question momentarily, but just come to Romans 12 for a moment. What we're looking for now are scriptural exhortations that we are to serve and meet the needs of others in the local church or in the body of Christ in general. 12:5, Romans 12:5. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Now look at 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And we could read more, but we'll stop right there for a moment. Do you suppose that this is an isolated passage? Do you think there might be other places in Scripture we could turn where we get exhortations also, where we are to serve the other believers in the local church, in the body of Christ? Do you think this is isolated? No, I think it's pretty easy. Boy, we can turn to lots of other places and find plenty of exhortations where we are to seek to meet the needs of others around us. Yeah? We got that settled, yeah? Okay, now we're going to do the flip side. Let's look at the scriptures that would exhort us to seek to have our needs met by the assembly. That is, those scriptures which would exhort us to have the posture that I am looking to the assembly, to the local church or the church in general, to meet my needs. Okay, let's turn to those. You might argue one or two, but they would have to be argued. I think there might be none. This is astounding. And when I first came across this, it was a real eye-opener to me. We do not seek with a posture to have the local church meet our needs. We seek to meet the needs around us. If this is the case, then we're starting to get an answer to our first question. Come with me now. You might say, well, wait a minute. We have needs. We obviously do. We know about them. There certainly has to be something we do about them. What do we do when we have needs that we perceive that we have? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. And verse 6, Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There is something that we do with our needs. We take them to God in prayer, and we take our needs to Him, and we, in our relationship to the local church, seek to meet needs. We take our needs to the head, and we seek, as the head gives us direction, to meet the needs in the church around us. Like I said, if this holds true, then the question I asked at the beginning may start to have an answer. And that is that it might be that one of those young men responded in a biblical fashion, and one of them may not have. Come to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And what we're going to do right now in Ephesians 4 is break right into the middle of a sentence. It's tough to find any good breaking point in, so we're just going to go at it. Ephesians 4, and we're going to read a verse. 16, Ephesians 4, 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, we broke into the middle there. Basically, what it seems to be saying is, if we picture the church as a body, and every part of the body is doing its share, then the body builds itself up. The needs of the body are being met by the body, and the body builds itself up. That seems to be what verse 16 is saying. Now you say, well, wait a minute now. You just shot down your own argument. I thought you just got done saying that we do not seek to have our needs met by the church. We take our needs to the head, and we seek to serve the church. And now you just turn to a verse, which you just explained, says that as every part of the body does its share, the church builds itself up. In other words, its needs are being met by itself. So which is it, Craig? We have to be a little bit razor sharp in what we think here. Now, what I said earlier was not that we would never have needs met by the local church, but rather that our posture and attitude is not to seek to have those needs met, but rather our posture and attitude is one where we seek to meet needs, and we take it to the Lord. We go to the Lord with our needs. Now, I made a little picture. All of my pictures are really, really simple. This one is no exception. I'm going to put it up, and it might help us understand a rather fine distinction here.
Got to build this and put this together here.
Now I have only three things on here. Here's the assembly, and what I mean by that is the church. Both words are translated from the same word, assembly and church. If we're using the word assembly correctly, we should be able to put the word church in and have the sentence still make sense. And here I am, and here's the head. Now, the idea is, what we've been talking about is, that my posture towards the assembly is that I'm seeking to meet needs that I find in the assembly, particularly as the head would give me direction and open my eyes to the things that I am to be doing in meeting the needs in the assembly. When I have a need, I take that to the head. Now, it may be that the head would use the assembly to meet my need, but my posture is that I'm just looking to the head. This is how we harmonize the verse we read in Ephesians 4, where, in fact, the church does edify itself, and I'm part of that. But my posture is taking my needs to the head and seeking to meet the needs of the assembly. Perhaps this illustration of the body can be used a little bit more. Maybe it'll make it a little bit more clear. In Ephesians 4, what's being talked about is the church in the universal sense. But this illustration of the body, it turns out, can be used in the local church also. 1 Corinthians 12 would be speaking to in the first place, the local church at Corinth, and say, you are body of Christ. And that is that the local church would be almost a microcosm of what's going on in the universal church. So if we use the illustration of the body, we can think about what's going on. Say, take your body, your stomach. It has needs once in a while, about 3 times a day. So the stomach perceives it has a need. What does it do when it perceives it has a need? It takes that request and makes it known to the head. Does the stomach, when it has a need, seek to have that need met by the rest of the body? Not directly. All the stomach does is make that need known to the head. This is a careful distinction to be made. The head then decides a number of things. The head decides whether that need really needs to be met. There are times when the head overrides, does it not? And says, yes, I know you have that need. I know you think you have that need. But I know I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, and that ultimately it's best for the body that I do as the doctor said, and I have to fast through, I have to not eat for the rest of the night and have a good checkup in the morning and do whatever they have to do. There are sometimes when the head will override the request. But most often the head meets the request. The stomach, when it has the need, does not go directly to the body and say, well, now, you all know around me know that I have this need, and what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do to meet my need? It doesn't develop a support group around it of other parts of the body to all sympathize with the need that the stomach has. All the stomach does is make its need known to the head. Then the head directs. And the other parts of the body that are seeking how they are to meet the needs of the rest of the body get into action. And the Lord directs the feet. And the feet get moving over the refrigerator. And then the Lord directs the hand. And the hand gets going, getting the cheese out or whatever. And the mouth gets going. Every part of the body is serving and meeting the needs of other parts of the body. Think about this. No part of your body lives for itself. What did the feet do when the feet moved you over? Were they serving the feet? No, they were serving the rest of the body. And then when they got to the refrigerator, what was the hand doing when the hand got the cheese? Was it serving the hand? No, it gave it away. And what happened when the mouth got it? The mouth enjoyed it a little while doing it, but it gave it away. And eventually the stomach's need got met without going and taking a posture that I'm going to look around to the rest of the body to have it met. The stomach merely made its request known to the head, and that the head directed and the body was edified as every part did its share. Verse 16. Every part doing its share builds up the body, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What did the stomach do when the stomach got its need met? Serve the rest of the body. This posture that we can have toward the assembly, it can change the whole way we think about things. This creates a dependence not on the local church, but a dependence on the Lord himself. That's more healthy, is it not? So we come and we seek to have needs met by the Lord, and we come to the assembly and seek to meet the needs around us. Thinking of the local church as a body changes our thinking of it when we realize that we're part of that body. Tell me, if you're in McDonald's, you're eating there, like I sometimes have to do because nothing else is around and I only have so much time. And somebody comes up to you and says, you know, they're eating next to you and they lean over and they say, you know, the food here really stinks. Do you feel like you've been insulted? I don't. Usually I lean back and say, yeah, I know. I wish we had something else around here. Why didn't I feel insulted? I had no part of it. He wasn't directing that at me. Suppose I were in a partnership in a restaurant, and I happened to be there eating in the restaurant that I was part owner of, and somebody came up to me and said, yeah, you know, the food here stinks. So then I'd be taking it personally, because I'm part of it now. And when we see ourselves as part of the local church, part of it, a partner in it, that's the idea, in fellowship in it, then we're part of it. And we take a whole different attitude when we're part of it. When you're a partner in the restaurant, you take a whole different attitude. When you see that there's something wrong, when there are needs that aren't being met and something's not going right, what do? Well, you seek to be part of the solution. When you're at McDonald's and you don't own any part of it and you're just there to have your needs met, what do you do when something's wrong? Well, you complain. Wait a minute. Who's meeting my needs? They aren't being met. You see the difference of posture that we have. Think about this. You go to your local church. The singing's terrible. What's your response to it? Sulking the whole time about, oh, singing there is awful. I want to go to a place where they have good singing because I like the good singing better. It's one response. Imagine somebody who comes to their local church and says, you know what? The singing's not so great here. I'm going through college. I have electives to take. I'm going to sign up for voice lessons. Imagine going through it your first day of class. You know, they all go around. So why did you take the class? You know, well, it was, you know, I've always loved singing. You know, how about you? Well, it's, you know, meets a prerequisite for, or a general ed requirement for graduation and, you know, going on around the room. And imagine somebody saying, well, in the church that I go to, the singing kind of could use some improvement, and I'm thinking by my being here, maybe I can help in the solution of the problem, and maybe I can learn to sing better, and maybe that'll help all in all in the church. Well, that's a different attitude, isn't it? Tremendous. Son of Man, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. I went to Canada a while back on business. I called a nice assembly nearby, wanted to meet with them at their local church. They said that would be great. And I went by and visited there. They told me on the phone that they'd, you know, the family I was talking to said they'd like to have me after lunch. I thought that would be great. Appreciate that. That morning, between two of the meetings, they came to me and said, they were very apologetic. They said, we're so sorry. A family emergency came up. We didn't know about it. We just got this call late last night. We have to go. We can't take care of you for lunch and things like that. I'm like, oh, no, that's fine. No problem. That's fine. Sitting there during the second meeting, I was thinking, well, you know, you get thinking like this, and thought, you know, I wonder if anybody's going to ask me to lunch. That would be okay if they didn't, you know. You just wonder, you know. And I got thinking, you know. I thought, Craig, what's the matter with you? What kind of an attitude is that? Now, there happened to be, as we broke bread earlier, there happened to be a young man got up and prayed a lovely prayer. Really liked it. I didn't know any of the people there, by the way. But I really liked that. So, now, what kind of attitude should you have? So when the meeting ended, I went up to this young man, said, you were the one that prayed earlier, and that, you know, yeah. I said, I really appreciated that. Thank you. I said, you know, I'm not doing anything this afternoon. Can I take you out to lunch and whoever else you want to come along? He said, yeah, that would be great. In fact, the little group, we're getting ready to go anyway. Why don't you just join us? Said, okay. Well, we ended up going out that afternoon having a great time. What was the difference? At one point, I was thinking in the posture of, I wonder if those around me are going to meet my needs. And then you can change it and just say, well, wait a minute. Why can't I seek to meet the needs of others? You come like I did to a camp like this. Don't know many people. What am I thinking about on the way up? Wonder what about my needs? Well, what else could you do? You could come up and say, well, look, I'm sure that there are other people there who are thinking the exact same thing that I am. Wouldn't they love to have somebody who would go out to them and talk to them and meet them and make them feel at home, like you all did in a tremendous way? That's a change of attitude, is it not? This attitude change that we are to have with regard to the local church. Now, as an example of this, we have, for instance, some people and some missionaries, for instance, that I know, go out serving the Lord as a missionary. And when they go out, they claim that their needs are going to be taken to the head. That's what they go out saying. We are going to take our needs to the head, and we're going to go out and serve. Tremendous attitude. And it turns out many times that the head will put it into the hearts of those in the local church, perhaps, particularly the one that sent them out, but others as well. And they would share with the individual going out, share money, share gifts. And the person is thankful for this. They're thankful to the assembly, and they're thankful to the Lord, and the needs are being met. Now, you may say, well, Craig, aren't you splitting hairs here? I mean, what really is the difference between what you just described and this missionary going out and getting the contract arranged with the home assembly and saying, okay, now I'm going to be going out and you will be providing me with so much per month, and I'm going to be providing service in a sense of going out as a missionary, doing this and that, and this is the contract, and this is what I can expect, and this is what I'll get, and so on, and having the whole thing arranged. You say, well, Craig, now, really, that's not that much different. I mean, who are we kidding, you know? I mean, isn't that really all the same than, oh, I'm going out, I'm taking my needs to the head, and, well, then the head will give it to the assembly and put it in their hearts to give the funds over here, and, oh, come on, what's the difference? Well, let's think about it for a minute. The difference in the two approaches. So in the one, I seek to serve, and I take my needs to the head. The head then puts it into the assembly, and individuals in the assembly perhaps, and my needs end up getting met that way. That's one way. The other way now, I go and seek to have my needs met by the assembly. So I talk to them, and they say to me, okay, now you're going to be doing this, and I say yes to them, that's what I'm going to be doing. And then they say they can provide me with this, and I say, yes, that amount sounds good, and we get ready to sign or do whatever we're going to do. Who's being left out of what's going on? Christ the head. He is the one on whom we must depend. He is the one that's being left out of the exchange. I don't think it's just splitting hairs. We come to seek to meet the needs around us as we see them. We pray and ask that God would show us where we are to do that. We seek to take our needs to the head and have Him move in the hearts of believers around us to meet these needs. And when it happens, it's so wonderful to see it. Sometimes it happens, we don't see it, but sometimes the Lord lets us see what He's doing.